This is Mod Love, the show that tackles dating, mating, and relating in the modern world, with your host, premier dating mentor and coach Jody Riley, and her partner from Straight Talk with Steve, Stephen Cardinal. Be sure to check out our previous episodes at modloveradio.com. And now, enjoy the show.
Welcome, everybody. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love.
We are so excited you have decided to give us a little bit of your time this week. We have a fantastic show. I think we have a fantastic show. We finally got somebody we've been trying to interview for a really long time.
Dr. Nerdlove. Paging Dr. Nerdlove.
We have Dr. Nerdlove in the house with us tonight. Harris O'Malley. And if you guys have not checked him out, he has a fantastic blog. And you've probably heard us talk about him in the show before because he writes a great blog. And he also has a podcast now. Great. I don't know if you knew that, but he has a podcast now. I don't know if I'd shared that with you or not there, honey. But yeah,
he did, because you were talking about how prepared he was for actually doing a recording, because you say he does this now as well.
So should be fantastic, because like I said, he was really prepared. But he writes a lot for men, and it's about men who maybe struggle a little bit with social skills, and maybe they're a little bit afraid to talk to women, and he kind of really puts it out there as a guy who went through the whole pickup thing and learned how to do pickup and worked that whole lifestyle. And he actually kind of comes at it from a real life perspective and in a real life way that he went through that journey himself. So he's going to talk with us about that tonight.
And did he drop any F-bombs in the...
He did not. Okay. He was worried about that, but he did not.
Just we like to give our listeners, just in case you're listening in the car, obviously we are talking about adult relationships, so there are times where we will either be talking about stuff that maybe you don't want your little kids listening to. So if you're listening in the car, I was just thinking we would, if there were some F-bombs that he dropped, because I know he was concerned about it, that we would give you a warning now and say, you know, maybe you want to listen to this later. But it seems like it's pretty safe, at least from him.
Yeah,
doesn't
mean
we're not going to drop something, but at least at this point, I don't think we have anything particularly frustrating in mind that may send us over the edge. But
no, I don't think there's anything too frustrating in that.
So anyway, in addition to the interview with Harris O'Malley, we have a listener question that we're going to take care of in this particular segment, as well as just a quick article that you found that kind of relates.
It was a funny way to relate into the listener question. And the listener question is kind of talking, apparently this person had found...
Don't give it away yet.
I'm not, but I was going to say where we got it from. This person found me on Tiny Buddha and had been listening to the show and asked this question because it's something that you and I have talked about on the show before. So so shout out to Tiny Buddha there for giving us a new listener. Kind of excited
good.
About that.
And also in segment three, we're going to discuss, we had this article up on our Facebook page earlier in the week. A couple people responded to it, but we figured we would actually just chat about it. There was a study, a very small study, that discussed whether men are threatened by smart, ambitious women.
And I'll talk to you a little bit about what I thought the language kind of said, too, because I thought the language was a little more than I would have used. But we'll talk about that in the third segment.
Very good. Well, let's get started with our segment one, shall we?
All right. Well, so this was a funny little article that I found. You know I love FARC.com, and that's F-A-R-K for you people that realize that I don't enunciate that well sometimes because I am Southern. But this is one of my favorite little websites to go find funny stuff. And I found this great article about this guy. I think he was in the UK.
Yes. South Wales, actually.
South Wales, yeah. And his friends realized that after he got a girlfriend, they hadn't really heard from him in like 18 months or something. And he wasn't answering emails. He wasn't answering phone calls. He wasn't hanging out with them anymore. So they basically had a
they
a
held
fake
a fake funeral.
Funeral
for him. Yeah. They had a limo, they had a casket.
Did they kidnapped him, didn't they?
There was a hearse. The hearse casket, and they even had a eulogy, and they ended up putting him in the box. So they organized the whole thing. They made a coffin, actually. Then they told him that he thought he was going out to watch some rugby with him, so they must have ended up getting him out, but they then convinced him to go into the coffin and drove the coffin from pub to pub.
Nice.
They gave speeches from the Old Testament. They closed off the roads for it. It was pretty darn funny.
And, you know, and it's funny. I mean, so it kind of leads us into this idea of, you know, sometimes we do, when we get into a relationship, we let those friendships and those other things in our lives sometimes kind of go by the wayside. And if you haven't talked to your friends or answered their phone calls in 18 months, perhaps you need to, like, you know, take your head out of the sand for a minute or come up for air or whatever you might be doing and call a friend, dude. Go for a beer. Do something.
And you were actually out with a couple girlfriends earlier this week, and they were talking about that being a problem with some relationships where the women are wishing that their husbands or long-term boyfriends, they wish they had some friends that they would go off and do stuff with because they've given all that stuff up, thinking that's required maybe to when you get into a relationship, you have to cut all those ties. And that's actually going to hurt you in the long term, because now these guys are at that position where it's really hard for them to go out and make new friends. Sure, they have people that they work with that are kind of friends, but the only thing you really have in common with those guys are that you work together.
You may not have a lot
in common. Maybe you do. I have a good friend that I work with. We became friends because we worked together.
Oh, we love Greg.
Greg is fantastic, but not every person that you work with are you going to be able to develop that kind of relationship with. And it can be really hard once you're in a relationship to start trying to find new friends, because how do you tell your significant other, I'm going to go head out tonight and see if I can make a friend?
Yeah.
That is just bizarre. So,
well, but with the advent of Meetup these days, it's not as bizarre as it used to be.
It isn't.
If you were just going to go to a bar and go, hey, I'm going to go see if I can meet some friends at the bar, she might give you some side eye.
Right.
But
also, if you say, all right, so I'm going to go join this kickball league, ladies, if you're hoping that he's going to find some friends, don't say, that sounds great, let's do it together, because you're going to take away that chance. You got to give him that chance to go out and maybe make some friends.
Or a softball league or whatever.
Right. And obviously, if you don't trust him to go out like that because maybe he's going to find some women, you got some trust issues you have to deal with anyway. But that's neither here nor there. Instead, we have a listener question that kind of centers around the same thing.
So can you go ahead and read that for us?
I will read this. I've heard you mention on your show that you have a lot of different interests outside of your relationship. How does that help keep you together if you always do things apart? Do you spend a lot of times with friends where the other isn't invited? And how does that not make you feel left out?
Well, at least speaking for me, I think it's very important to have interests outside of the relationship because of this very issue. Like on Saturday morning, I went and met with some other ladies here in Charleston that do similar things to me. It was another dating coach and a matchmaker here in Charleston. We're friends. We all know each other. And, and I have other friends that I go and have dinner with and things that just the girls. Sometimes you just need to go out with your own peers without your significant other. Now, Steve, you don't feel left out about that when
Not
I do
at all.
It. No, because you have a monthly thing that you do with a couple of your friends.
Right. And I have theater season starting up soon, so I'm going to be having rehearsals a lot. But I mean, when we get home, typically, we do come home to each other and then we go back out again. There's the occasional, I'm going to go right out after work. But most of the time, obviously we keep in touch throughout the day through Instant Messenger, Google Chat. And then we get home, we see each other, give each other a kiss, maybe have a bite to eat if one of us isn't going out for dinner. Like if I have rehearsal, I'm going to have a bite to eat with you before we go out. Then I'm going to go out and do my thing. And whether you're going out to do something or I'm going out to do something, we're both following our passions. And I mean, we trust each other. It's not like we have trust issues where, he's out and he's going to be having a good time without me. And we don't have a trust issue there. But really it's a matter of I love the fact that this person has a passion. I love that Jody has her passions, that she has her friends and that she's engaged in stuff. And so her going out and doing this stuff is making her happy. And that's great. I don't feel, if it's not me making her happy, then I'm at fault in some way or lacking in some way, because, we're like these bottomless cups that can never be filled. We just keep pouring stuff in. So I can't feel like, I need to fill her up because she's bottomless.
Yeah, and it's not your responsibility.
Right.
Right. It's my responsibility, and it's my responsibility to fill myself up. And the other thing is we don't always do things apart, but we don't always do things together either. For example, we have friends in common that we may go out to dinner with. We have friends that we go maybe to shows and go out to have go see a show, a live show or something, and go to dinner. We have Cynthia and Rob. We have, Charlie and Sheila, Deb and Rob. We have tons of people that we go out and do stuff with together as a couple. But if you're always doing things together, that doesn't really sometimes give you an opportunity to have friends outside. So we do have friends outside of that we also spend time with. And I don't feel left out when you go out with the guys, because you need to do that to have guy friends. And like I said, my friends and I this weekend that we're talking, they want their husbands and boyfriends to have more people to go out with and do stuff with because they realize that that makes them happy and it gives them peers to lean on outside of the relationship because you don't want to feel like you don't have any friends left.
Right. And it also takes a little bit of load off because, I mean, if Jody never went out, if I were her sole source of entertainment, that is a huge amount of pressure on
that
me to
a lot
make
of pressure.
Sure that, and
you just I'm can't very
live
needy.
Up to that. You just can't live up to that. So,
I'm like a cat.
Right?
I'm
she,
needy.
I mean, she certainly needs a lap. But yeah, really, it's not yeah, I think that's necessary because you can't really – that's going to wear somebody down. And so like your girlfriends who are saying, I wish my husband, wish my boyfriend had someone else because at some point they're getting tired of not necessarily feeling like a mother, but they have to be there for that person constantly just to make sure that they're not alone and you're feeling bad. Oh, I don't want to leave him alone tonight because he doesn't have anything going on. That's not healthy, I don't think, for a relationship. I mean, you need to – and so –
and you don't want to feel bad to go have your own passions, and you don't want to feel bad for leaving that other person at home if they don't have that.
Right. You'll start building up resentments and whatnot. And
yes.
So, you know, guys definitely, and I think there's an article in here. I just started writing for Charleston Joe. CharlestonJoe.com just went public this week.
Yes, it did.
It's
fantastic website.
Local Charleston, mostly for men, or it's a lot of things, it's all written by men. But I know a number of women who have read it and have enjoyed what's up there so far. So I write a relationship section.
Nah, get out.
I go figure. I may do a few other things as well because I do like to write. But I think this is going to be a future article in that, guys, you know, you need to maintain – if you're just getting into a relationship, don't let your existing friendships go completely. You need to keep some of those things established and keep getting together with your friends. Maybe – you're not going to go out to singles bars anymore and carouse with women because you're now in a relationship. But, well, hopefully that's not the only thing you had going with those friends. Hopefully you had more things going on as far as just friendships and being able to do other stuff, going out for dinner, going out to see a ball game or a hockey game or something. But you want to maintain those things because if you let them go away, once you're deep into a relationship, it's going to be a lot harder to reestablish something like that, to find brand new friends. Yes, there's meetup, there's some opportunities there, but it's hard. And those guys that you meet, they may also be in the same boat and not really able to start up new relationships. If you've gone through the dating process looking for someone who's special, you've probably dated a ton of people trying to find the right one, right? And you're finding that so hard. It's the exact same thing finding good friends. We've alluded to that before, is
yeah.
Trying to find someone you want to date is like trying to find a really good friend that you also want to sleep with.
Right.
Just finding a really good friend is hard. So if you've not kept your old established relationships, it's going to be much harder to find new ones later on. So don't let them go away.
Yeah. So, you know, long story short, it makes things healthier because it takes the responsibility and the pressure off of your significant other and off of your spouse, you know? And so that's why it's really healthy. And if you're feeling left out, that's your own stuff you need to work on.
Right.
So just keep that in mind. And with that, I think we're going to have to take a break and go pay a few bills here. But when we come back, we're going to have Harris O'Malley, Dr. Nerd Love, in the house. So don't go away. You are listening to
Mod Love.
Hi, Jody here from Mod Love. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I just wanted to remind you all to visit our website at modloveradio.com. You'll notice that on our homepage on the right-hand side, there's a blue box. If you put your information in there, we will send you some free goodies. And while you're there, you can also watch videos, listen to episodes, subscribe to the show, or even check out our gallery of expert guests. You can also search for articles and send us your questions. Again, that web address is modloveradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thanks for listening to Mod Love.
My feet off the ground. Rum and my coffee, it's warm going down. You, this coffee, and the rain. Yeah, it's just you, this coffee and the rain.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Jody Riley, and you're listening to Mod Love. And as promised in our first segment, we have a very special guest tonight, Harris O'Malley. But those of you who have been listening to the show probably recognize him as Dr. Nerd Love, because we've talked about several of his articles on the show before, and we've talked about a lot of the kind of cool stuff that he writes out there that's geared toward helping men find love and helping them kind of wade through the whole dating pool. And so we thank you very much for being with us tonight, Harris. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
And so tell us, so let's just get started a little bit. So for our listeners out there that might be new or may not have read anything on your blog, on the Dr. Nerdlove blog, tell us a bit, how did you become Dr. Nerdlove and how did this develop?
Well, it was a very roundabout kind of way. I started off and I was the prototypical geek. I had no idea how to impress women, how to talk to them, how to express how I felt with someone, how to be attractive. And the relationships I had were by chance. I never really felt in control of being able to direct where my dating life was going. And after a particularly bad night where I went head-to-head with a very good friend of mine over the same girl, and I lost badly, I was had hit a low point and thought, all right, this can never happen to me again. I have to learn how to be able to have some control over my dating life. And at the time, that's how I stumbled into the pickup industry. And I discovered a copy of Neil Strauss's The Game. I took a boot camp. I got seriously deep into it. And for a while, I was happy. But it was a very surface-level happiness where I was glad I was, you know, having more sex. I was feeling more attractive. But I didn't like the way that it was I was learning to treat women and the way that I was interacting with them and how pickup had taken over my life. And I decided at one point, okay, there has got to be a way that I can still have this ability to meet women, to attract women, but do it in a way that isn't as toxic, that isn't as sex negative, that isn't as negative towards women, that's more consistent with who I am, but still keep this level of success.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because you've almost become like a pretty outspoken person that says, you know, pick up, if you're looking for a relationship, pick up is not the way to do it.
Yeah, pick up, I have mixed views on pick up because on the one hand, there are valuable things you can learn in it. I learned a lot. The problem is how much of it is tied into bad gender roles, bad ideas about sex and sexuality, a whole lot of negativity towards women, and honestly, a lot of negativity towards men, too. And it can be hard to separate the good stuff from it, from all of this, like, toxic stew that it's really still permeates a lot of the culture.
And do you think that's made it more difficult for men these days? And, you know, and so what are some of the things that you help men with that are maybe still struggling with this? Because I can see, like you said, you get deep into it and you do get some really good results out of it. I'm sure you get a lot of confidence if you're finding more women that are finding you more attractive and you're getting more dates and you're actually sleeping with women where maybe you weren't doing that before. I could see how you get deep into it. And then when you get unhappy, what do you do? So how do you help people do that?
Well, a lot of what I do is try to teach people really to deconstruct a lot of ideas that culture has given us. Because one of the things that's really kind of odd about relationship advice for men is how little there actually is. Pickup really is kind of the only thing that's out there. So it's become sort of the default advice. Beyond that, the only other thing that a lot of people have in terms of what they can learning how to get better with women is to watch pop culture. And, you know, as we watch movies and TV shows, and none of those are realistic depictions of relationships or attraction, and we learn all the wrong ideas. And so one of the things, I think that in a lot of ways pickup and various offshoots like the red pill philosophy that you can find on Reddit and whatnot leads to trouble because so much of it posits the idea that men and women are in conflict with each other, that sex is a zero-sum game, that men want to have sex, women do not, women want, you know, stability, security, emotional, whatever, and that puts men and women in conflict, where women are supposed to hold out for getting sex, for commitment, for a relationship, for a diamond, for whatever, and men are supposed to get sex as cheaply as possible. And that makes it impossible to have a real trusting relationship with somebody when you feel like one of you is a loser. I try to teach people to view sex and relationships as a collaborative model, where it's closer to, say, like a music jam, where you say, well, I bring these things to the table, and she says, well, I bring these things to the table, and what can we do with these two things together?
It's like a dance. I mean, yeah. If you think about it, it's viewing it as a dance less, more so than a fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ideally with what I try to teach people, when you meet someone that you really click with and they like you and you like them, everybody feels like they've won. It doesn't feel like it's a conflict. It's more along the lines of you understand how to communicate, and suddenly everybody's just, it just clicks. You learn how to make that click happen and everybody's happy.
Yeah, and that actually makes a lot of sense, because I know, I mean, even like I'm, you know, I'm on a lot of forums and things like that. And I, you know, you see the men out there that are so very, very frustrated, and they especially don't seem to want to hear, even if a woman is saying, you know, here's what my experience of that is. A lot of those guys in those forums, they don't want to hear that. You know, you see the women just get blasted. So, and it does make it very difficult, I think, sometimes for those guys that are out there, they're scrambling and they're looking for something. But if all that's there is the thing that's making them an adversary of the very people they're trying to date, it's not very easy.
Yeah, and especially with online stuff, there can be a lot of conflict with other men, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because the idea of you're not a real man unless you do X, Y, or Z. You're not a real man unless you are sleeping with this many people, or only alpha males, for whatever value you want to ascribe to alpha male, get women, and beta males have to deal with the leftovers. I mean, it makes... At its worst, it makes it impossible for men to trust men or women, and you end up feeling very alone and very inauthentic, like the only way that you can be friends with somebody is to manipulate them.
Yeah, and that's the very thing that's going to turn most women off, is because women don't want to feel like they're being manipulated. Well, you know, Neil has written another book, The Truth, I think, is his latest book. Now, I have it on order. I have not gotten it yet, and I have not read it. But I think he sort of goes back in this book, at least from what I can tell, and talks about kind of what you're talking about, a little bit of a downward spiral, and how he eventually was able to find a relationship. But, you know, and I don't know if you've read it, but mm-hmm. I think he kind of goes back and says himself, hey, this wasn't making me happy.
Yeah, I read the book, actually. I got a review copy from him, and I really enjoyed it. And I think a lot of people are going to mistake it as seeing him saying, you know, this is all evil, this is, you know, here's the true joy, and it's in finding monogamy. And when what's really going on is he, like a lot of men who found pickup, myself included, went into pickup looking for validation, looking for proof that they're a good person. And they had this hole in their life that they were trying to fill with sex, which is a lot of what I was doing. I thought if I could just sleep with some arbitrary number of women, then I would have proven that I was a real man, my life would be great. And that's not how it happens. In the truth, a lot of it is about Neil trying to come to grips with a lot of his history, a lot of emotional problems he had that he never realized, and a lot of it's his journey trying to figure out, okay, what is right for me, what do I need, what do I want, are they the same thing, and how do I get there? And for me, it was kind of the same thing. It's like, all right, what do I want? Well, I like these relationships that I'm having. I don't like the side effects that's coming with it. I don't like treating women like they're disposable things. I don't like where I'm meeting these women. I one of the things I discovered was that I don't really like loud bars and clubs. I'll go to bars with my friends and hang out, but in terms of going to a nightclub and trying to pick someone up, not really my scene. I discovered I like bookstores better. I like online dating better. And it's just that journey of going from this very narrow idea of what made an attractive man, and in pickup, it all tends to be oriented towards club game, where you go to the nightclub, you're the big flashy guy, and, you know, pick up the hottest woman there, and finding out, okay, that's not what I want. What do I want? Well, okay, I want this. Is what I want what I need? Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, and it's very hard sometimes to get across to people, is sometimes what you want is not always the thing that you need, and it's not always the thing that's going to make you happy. Mm-hmm. So answer me this. So who is it? Who are the readers of Dr. Nerdlove? When I'm reading through the comments, I'm getting that it's a lot of guys, maybe who have found themselves in a similar position to you. And what are some of the questions that you get asked the most? And do you get asked questions by women sometimes too?
I do. When I write my articles, when I write the advice articles in terms of like, here's what you do to generate attraction, here's what you do when you get a phone number, I tend to write those mostly for men because I'm coming at this from my experiences as, you know, cisgendered straight male. And I think there are enough people out there who are telling women how to woman better. I don't want to do that. But I get a lot of questions for specific situations, like, you know, my boyfriend, my husband, my girlfriend did this, or I'm having frustration with this. Can you help? And those I love to answer. In terms of the questions that I get, I honestly think the ones that I get most often are people, men and women both, writing in because they're frustrated. Sometimes they're scared. They're worried that they're going to be alone forever, or that they have crossed some event horizon where they can never be attractive or never find a relationship, and they want someone to just reassure them that they can have control. They can find the relationship that they want. That there is hope for them.
Yes, and I see, and I got to say, from the questions that we get as well, a lot of people, like you said, they want to feel like, I can do something about this, I can have some control over it, not like I'm just hanging out here, and it's, you know, dependent on whether other people find me attractive or whatever, that I do have some semblance of control over my own love life. I think that is one of the biggest fears that I see with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that never gets talked about is that dating is a skill. We call them social skills, but we never seem to think that like dating is something you can improve at, you can practice at it. And especially with men, there's this weird binary where either you are good at dating or you are not. And if you are not good at it, admitting that you're not and asking for help is seen as being shameful. And that creates a lot of stigma towards being willing to look for help of any sort. And then that's how you get these people with these anxieties over dating, saying, you know, I don't know if I can ever find someone. I'm afraid that I'm too old to date. And I'm getting this from people in high school, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, who think that they have missed their window and now they are doomed to die alone.
That is insane. I mean, yeah. I mean, to hear you say that 15 is, I have not gotten that. I have not gotten that. I've gotten it certainly from 30, 40s and up, but holy cow, teenagers?
Teenagers.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, the cold and hard truth is that you can find love at any age. We romanticize young love. All of our pop culture is oriented towards 18 to 34-year-olds in terms of movie protagonists or whatnot. But there really isn't a point where you are too old. It's just a question of the kind of relationship that you want. And at 16, they seem to believe or have been taught that they should have their lives sorted out by now. And if they don't, then there's something wrong with them.
Wow, that's insane. Because I got to tell you, if I had been required to have my life sorted out at 16, it would have been a very, very poor excuse for a life, because I was just one not very with it kid at 16. I think that's how most 16-year-olds are.
Yeah, when I was 16, my idea of what a relationship was like and what relationships I could have was so off the mark. It's kind of frightening.
Yeah, I know. I just can't imagine these poor 16-year-olds out there thinking, this is it. This is the pinnacle. I'm supposed to know it all. That's just insane. Well, now, mm-hmm. I know recently you had put up on the blog, or you had mentioned, I think, in some of the questions, that you might not be getting back to people as quickly because you were in the process of writing a book and doing some publications. So tell us a little bit about what you've been working on.
Well, I just recently finished, and on October 20th, it came out, my book, New Game Plus, A Geek's Guide to Love, Sex, and Dating, where it's a collection of like all of my advice on how to get better at dating from start to finish. It teaches everything literally from the inside out, starting with self-defeating attitudes and limiting beliefs that a lot of people have. And things like why confidence is sexy, how to become more confident. It doesn't just have to do with what you've accomplished and how to become more interesting. What does it mean to be, you know, quote unquote, a real man? Dealing with questions like, do women really love assholes? No, there are things that women like that tend to show up in assholes, but the idea of women only like jerks, not true.
Thank you for saying that. Steve and I have been preaching that on this show for at least 3 years now.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that jerks have. Jerks tend to be very assertive. They tend to be very confident. They go for what they want. So as a result, they tend to have more people interested in them and they get more results. That doesn't mean that women want them. It's just that they're the ones putting themselves out there.
They have positive traits about them that women like. And the same thing with the bad girls. The bad girls have positive traits about them. Men aren't attracted to them because they're quote unquote bad girls. They're attracted to them because they have these positive traits that also happen to show up in women who might cheat on you.
Yeah. I mean, they show up. And there are people who know how to present themselves well. They show up, and these traits show up in them, and these people show up at the parties. They show up at the clubs. They're the ones who are going up and approaching, you know, dozens of people a night, knowing that eventually one of them is going to be into them.
Absolutely.
And you can learn how to do all these things without being a jerk.
I mean, even a psychopath can turn on the charm and charm somebody right into bed if they want to, but they're not going to be a good partner to be in a relationship with.
Yeah, and that's one of the other things that people don't notice is that, yeah, there will be people, there will be jerks who get lots of relationships or lots of sex and whatnot. That doesn't mean it's either very good or lasts very long. They have a very limited shelf life, both in their relationships and in general.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, so back to your book. Is this a hardcover book? Is this an ebook? And how can people get it?
Sure. Well, they can find it on Amazon, along with the other two books that I published. If you search my name, Harris O'Malley, you can find it there. You can also find it on iTunes. And it is primarily an ebook, but you can also get a print version of it.
Oh, fantastic. Well, what we'd like to do is we're going to put this up on our Facebook page, but I'm also going to put a link out on our website so that if anybody wants to go out there and go to Amazon, you can just click right from our website, go out to Amazon and get a copy of it. Because I think, again, I think this is just a fantastic way of getting some of these, getting your voice out there so that, because I think if somebody's never read your blog, which we talk about your blog quite a bit on the show, if somebody's never read some of the stuff that you talk about, just get a hold of the book and go out there and read some of this really positive male advice, for lack of a better word, that you're putting out there, because you are one of the voices out there that I think are really in the forefront of being able to help men have good relationships and attract good relationships and do it in a way that they can feel good about themselves. And that's the whole point.
Yes, it is. And thank you. I really appreciate that. But yeah, that really is my goal. A lot of what I believe and what I teach is that the way that you become better at relationships is by becoming a better person.
Yes. And like you said, it's a lot of the stuff that you talk about are skills, and they're skills that can be learned. And there's no shame in not knowing them just from your DNA. I mean, it's like anything. We have to learn how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, we don't generally look down at someone who may never have played basketball before or may never have played a video game before for not instinctively knowing how to play it. We assume that there is going to be practice, that they're going to work with, you know, they're going to work with a coach, they're going to learn how to play the game, they're going to shoot hoops in their backyard. That's the same sort of thing that applies to dating. It's just a way of collecting skills and getting to know how to use them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just because you're not necessarily born with it doesn't mean you can't learn it, and you can't learn it and do it really well. So for yourself, I noticed on your profile here, you have a picture of you and a nice young lady. So have you found your relationship and all that for yourself?
Yes, indeed. My wife and I actually have known each other for 20 years. We met the first day of classes in college. And we became instant best friends from the day we met. It was never quite a friend zone thing, because neither of us were in love with each other secretly or not so secretly. But we were just really tight. We had a lot in common. And always used to joke that, you know, in some alternate universe, we're probably a scorching hot couple. And after he graduated, we just never fell out of touch. And then after a while, you know, our conversations got flirtier and we were finally both in a position where, yeah, okay, I've seen the change in you. She's seen the change in me. And, you know, things happen. And we became, you know, started dating and then got married.
See, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody else that can be friends, and then out of that friendship grows a love. And that was very similar to what Steve and I. Steve and I were good friends. Mm-hmm. And one day he asked me out. He's like, well, why don't we actually go out on a date? And I was like, okay, we can go out on a date. Because again, it was not that friend zone thing. He wasn't in love with me trying to get me to be in love with him. And I wasn't in love with him trying to get him to date me. We were just friends hanging out. And we realized that we had a lot in common and we really liked each other. And it just kind of went from there. So, you know, for those people out there that say you can't grow a romance out of a friendship, I think sometimes the friend zone is way different than a friendship, and people should be able to know the difference between that. But yeah, it absolutely can happen. I think that's fantastic. Right. Well, again, thank you so much for being with us tonight. We do appreciate it. And again, we're going to put up, it's called The New Game Plus. Is that what you called it?
New Game Plus, The Geek's Guide to Love, Sex, and Dating.
All right. And we're going to put that out there. I said we're going to put it on our Facebook page, and we'll also put it up on our website so that people can just click on it from there and go to Amazon and grab a copy. Again, thanks so much. And it's Harris O'Malley, but the blog is Dr. Nerdlove. And yes. if you Google Dr. Nerdlove, it's going to come right up because that's like the best name ever.
Thank you.
Because that is just, and like you said, it's if you're a guy out there who feels like you're a little on the geeky side, Steve said, you know, he's always been a geek himself. But if you get out there and you find yourself that you're feeling a little on the geeky side, this is absolutely the blog and the book for you. And even if you're not, even if you're just struggling, it's got some really, really good stuff out there on the blog. So thanks so much for being with us tonight. And we'd love to have you back on and keep us up to date on the stuff that you're doing. If you're doing any classes or you're writing any more books or you're going to be speaking anywhere, let us know and we'd love to give you a shout out.
All right, definitely. And thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, Harris. We appreciate it.
This is Stephen Cardinal of Mod Love, and if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to head out to iTunes and leave us a review. Doing so will really help us reach more people and touch more lives. And if you're not an iTunes user, even a review on our Facebook page will go a long way in showing your support. Thanks a lot, and thanks for listening to Mod Love.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love.
And if you are just joining us, man, you're late to the party. What's up with that? And you just missed our interview with Harris O'Malley, or a.k.a. Dr. Nerdlove. And so what you want to do is you want to head out to the website and you want to click and you want to listen to this again if you missed that, because that was a fantastic interview.
Well, I think technically if they missed it, then chances are they're listening to it live on Kinetic Hi-Fi right now.
That's true. Bandit Radio FM. Or Monolith Radio.
Or Monolith Radio as well. So Monolith Radio right now is only posted as recorded stuff. They're not covering us live. So you're obviously listening to us live, in which case tomorrow morning the new episode will be, this episode will be up and posted online. So you can't go out there right now because you have this little bit of a window where it's live or you got to wait till tomorrow. So.
Yep, there you go. So, and if you do happen to surf on out there to the website, check out some of the other pages. Just saying, there might be some cool stuff. There might be. But if you are just joining us, as we mentioned in our first segment, we're going to talk a little bit about an article that we posted up on our Facebook page. I guess it was maybe a week or so ago, about men feeling threatened by ambitious and intelligent women. And I can't, what was the headline on it again? Because the headline was a little misreading.
Why men are threatened by smart women.
The article didn't tell you why.
It never told you why.
It just irritates me when they do that.
It just suggests that men are threatened. And yeah, I think that is probably true.
Do you think that? I was going to ask you, as a man, do you think that? No, I don't think all either.
But I think, you know, and this, so this study was
But it also was about ambition as well. It wasn't just intelligence or smarts. Right. It was also about ambition.
Right, and it's tough to understand exactly how did they present that to these people. But so they, I think they used like 105
And they didn't give a methodology and all that good stuff. They didn't go in that deep into it.
Right. We're assuming that because it was done by actual professors and whatnot, and it's an actual study that someone had has reviewed these, and we're just seeing the
highlights.
You know, the highlights in the mass media.
It's kind of like the ESPN highlights.
Exactly, right? So, or CNN headline news. Do they still have headline news?
I think they do, but I don't know that anybody actually watches it.
So anyway, so this 105 male participants is all it in. They read about a hypothetical scenario about a woman who is listed as maybe either being better or worse than the guy is in, say, math or English, and ask, well, so do you think that woman is attractive? Oh, yes, I would love an intelligent woman. I would love an ambitious woman. Then they presented a bunch of guys with the same scenario, except with the opportunity to actually meet one of those people who are supposedly smarter or more ambitious than they are. And a lot more men were less interested in actually meeting them or dating them or having much to do with them in any way. So the idea is that perhaps men are, their masculinity is threatened. And so although they say that they want an intelligent, ambitious woman, in reality, when they're actually faced with a situation, they may choose not to do it.
They may choose not to meet her, yeah. Right. And so what this, you know, so it's interesting to me because I hear this from women a lot, especially you have women out there. I mean, ladies, let's be honest. We've come up in the world. We're out there and, you know, we're almost 3-1 in some places taking men out in college. I mean, and we talked about this on the show where we talked with John Berger, who wrote Datanomics. And, we are going into college. We're getting degrees. We're getting jobs. We've come up in the world. We're coming out of these colleges intelligent, we're getting great jobs, we're taking care of ourselves, and we think in our heads, man, that makes me a great catch. And I think what this does is this kind of gives a little credence to what a lot of successful women have found, in that they're not as attractive, and I don't mean that in the sense of
physical
attraction. Right. They're not as attractive out in the marketplace as perhaps a woman who's not as successful.
Right.
And that is a big fear that a lot of successful women have, is that that's going to hold them back. And I think this study lends a little credence to that, except that it was kind of really small. But then again, we don't know that they're not going to expand it and do more. This could have been a preliminary finding, and
right.
they
admitted it, as they often do, that, you know, more research is needed to kind of confirm the conclusion. Again, this is just looking at some small numbers. Here's a suggestion that kind of maps up with, I think, what, you know, our common sense may tell us, is that it passes the sniff test to me that yes, there are men who are going to be, you know, their masculinity is threatened. They don't quite know where they're supposed to be.
But we also don't know what kind of men, and I don't think this article went into like the characteristics of the men that were asked either.
Right.
Because were the men also, you know, equivalent? Were they, you know, kind of equivalent to the, well, it does say that they told them that the women scored higher on tests or whatever, but we don't know what these guys' scores were or
right.
What,
yeah,
you know.
I think all we really know is that when the men were told that, hey, would you be attracted to this woman? They said, oh, hell yeah. And then when they said, well, here she is. Oh, hell no.
Yeah. I don't really want to meet her.
Right. Oh, yeah, maybe not quite as interested, because the reality, you know, was that I'm actually going to meet this person before there was no reality. So, of course I want to, you know, of course I want the double-jointed Russian-speaking,
redheaded
former Russian gymnast.
Linux kernel programmer,
exactly, with a few other traits.
You got tiny little blonde pixie.
But if I would actually meet that girl in a bar, chances are, I of course just say that as a joke. I have no such interest in someone with all those different traits, but
you never know.
You never know, right? but I think I will have in my head sometimes, this person would be really cool, but I think if I actually met that person, maybe not so much, because our fantasy, you know, of
that's the person you want to have sex with, not necessarily the person you want to have a relationship
precisely,
with.
Precisely. So I don't know. This passes the sniff test to me. I think the stuff that we don't know and what we talked about, or I commented a little bit on our Facebook page, was what would we do with this information? So, all right, guys, your masculinity is threatened. It's easy to just poo-poo it. Well, guys, just, you know, just grow a set. It's not that easy. I mean, we've been raised with certain ideas of what a man is supposed to be, and even if that's changing, still, it's not changing completely. There are pockets of resistance. There are still plenty of old-fashioned women out there who want to be completely taken care of and catered to. So it's not like all women have suddenly hit this new peak and now we have to catch up to them, because there's still plenty who still like the old-fashioned hold the doors for me and buy me flowers on my first date and all that other stuff. And then there are other women. So there is no one size fits all, and it's going to be hard. So there's not a lot of what do we do about it. But it also doesn't go into what types of things, because it's easy to say, all right, well, guys just are easy to, it's easy to have their masculinity threatened. But there are things that threaten women's femininity.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, but can we discuss that?
But but one of the things, too, that I want to go back to is I don't think women need to dumb themselves down either.
Oh, absolutely not.
And I have this wonderful, wonderful friend of mine who is a PhD, and she works at the medical university here. And she has said to me, I don't tell men what I do. When they ask me what I do, I tell them I'm a researcher. I'm like, you don't tell them that you're a doctor? She's like, no. I'm thinking, well, really? Like, but because she doesn't want them to run screaming
from the back before she has a chance to show them who she is, right?
Right. And so, and that to me is sad. That is just sad, because here is this wonderful, accomplished, beautiful woman, and she's afraid to say that I have a PhD and I work at a medical university.
Right. And it's not 100% just the gender thing. I mean, obviously, having a PhD, I mean, that can be intimidating to anybody, just because, you know, boy, I've never even gone for a master's and think, you know, I don't think it would just be, in, you know, even to a you know, a male doctor, a woman say, you know, some women are like, oh, he's a doctor, but others are like, this guy's going to be a jerk because, yeah. You know, because there's a reputation for doctors
as well,
right?
That I can have a conversation with this guy because he's got a doctorate.
Right. Yeah. We know a friend, she had gone out with someone that she thought was very successful. Then when she got there, she's like, I don't feel like I belong
in his circle. Yes.
Despite that's what she was looking at. So it's not.
Despite that's what she wanted, she didn't feel like she belonged.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not 100. I think there's definitely a gender thing. But I think it's not always a gender thing when, you know, someone is intimidated by somebody else, and it could be based off looks. I know plenty of guys who are like, that girl is out of my league. I'm not even going to approach her purely just
because
of looks.
They would if they'd been doing the pickup stuff. I'm just kidding.
They would have learned how to get over that. But most guys do have that sense of, oh, she's way too beautiful for me and wouldn't bother. And then the homely guy right next to them who has no such fear is like, well, screw you then. I'm going.
Well, and it's so funny because I hear that from really beautiful women, too, that nobody ever asked me out on a date. You know, here's a woman who's practically supermodel beautiful and can't get a date. And you're thinking, what? Why? But I think a lot of it sometimes is because maybe she's intimidated.
Right.
Intimidating. To
right.
Some men. And yeah, you're right. But I think a lot of it sometimes is maybe building up the self-esteem of all of us, you know, building up that confidence enough to say, you know what, doesn't matter that this person has a PhD, doesn't matter this person's a 10, doesn't matter that this woman has all of this whatever, I have enough confidence in myself that I can have a conversation with her and you know, maybe I can ask her out and I can feel comfortable maybe asking her out. So
right.
I think it's
about
self-work.
Yeah, and I think that's the trick is to, if you're feeling lacking in self-worth, do something about it. Try to learn something new and
read. Gain
some confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly there's reading, but I mean, you know, I think we've talked about it maybe 4 or 5 months ago on the show that, you know, if you're trying to build up your self-confidence, and I think it was related to an article that we talked about where...
Or maybe it was a straight talk. Seems like that sounds like a straight talk.
It might have been. I seem to recall it may have been prompted by a Psychology Today article, something like that. But, you know, if you're, especially men, if you're suffering from some low self-esteem, you need to start doing something to remind yourself that, hey, I can learn stuff, I can get better at stuff. So if you've wanted to pick up the guitar, pick up the guitar, take lessons, and, you know, stick 60 to 90 days at it and see where you're at, and suddenly remind yourself that, oh yeah, I can learn stuff. I am better than I thought I was 90 days ago. It only takes work to do it. It's not something endemic to me that, is that the right word? That, you know, something that is part of me, like, nope, I just am bad at stuff. No,
you're not innately bad at anything.
Right. You're not innately bad. You just have to work at stuff. And so if there are things that you're kind of feeling, I think it was a lot with the male anger, maybe back with the whole.
And a little bit with the passions too, of learning, you know, finding something to do and learning and following a passion and learning how to play the guitar or whatever.
Right. And just to give yourself that self-confidence, to remind yourself that, no, I'm a living, breathing, growing human being that I can, even if I don't like where I'm at now, I can change and get better by working at it. And work, it should not scare you. Because especially once you start doing it and you realize, hey, this work is actually,
this is kind of fun.
You know, I'm actually gaining from this. Then it opens up your mind to working at a whole bunch of other stuff in
and
your life.
And you never know who you're going to meet when you're doing that kind of work on yourself.
Right on.
Because if you know, you might hire a guitar coach who's cute as she can be and you wind up dating her. You never know.
Oh, don't date the teacher.
Well, it's not like you're like a freshman in high school dating a math teacher. It's like the guitar chick.
How about my French teacher?
Okay, fine.
She was beautiful. I did not date her. I'm not saying she did. I just had a huge crush on her.
That's not fair because you were half French. You probably spoke French better than anybody else in the class.
No, well, actually, our teacher was Portuguese. She spoke French with a Portuguese accent.
Oh, nice, yes. So she appealed to your Portuguese side.
She did.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to have to get on out of here, guys. Thanks so much for listening again. And let us know your thoughts. You know, give us your comments. You know, shoot us an email. You can contact us through the contact form on modloveradio.com. And while you're out there, if you're doing some online dating, we have some free training videos that we're giving out for free. So to help you guys, if you haven't been getting the results you want with your online dating profile, you can download those free videos. We'll send them to you. Just put your name and email in there and we'll get that out to you. Or you can join our listener club. We'll send you a couple of free gifts if you join the listener club. And, you know, just go out there and peruse. We got all kinds of stuff. We got videos. We got all kinds of stuff out there. So enjoy that. And we're going to have to get on out.
And go out, check out charlestonjoe.com.
Yep, there you go. So thanks so much for listening, guys. You've been listening to
Mod Love. Mod Love is produced by Straight Talk Entertainment. For information on producing your podcast, go to straighttalkwithsteve.net.